Welcome to the Entertainment Docket for the week of August 19th. I am your co-host, Michael Staley, and alongside me is the lovely, talented, and back-to-school, Melissa Hansen. Are you doing your back-to-school shopping?
I'm doing all my shopping. In Texas, it was last weekend, but they have a tax-free weekend.
Really?
For back-to-school shopping.
Wow.
And, like, school supplies and clothes and I don't know what else. A whole bunch of stuff is tax-free for the weekends.
Well, New Hampshire is always tax-free. New Hampshire is always tax-free.
On everything? Is it completely sales tax-free?
I want to say it's not for food, like carry-out food or dine-in food. Okay. But, you know, basic products are tax-free.
Huh. Well, nice. Nice. But, yeah. And I was actually standing in a Starbucks and the people working there were talking about it and some girl was like, is that everywhere? And I'm like, no. I'm like, I grew up in Chicago, never heard of it.
She thought that it was nationwide tax-free.
Yeah. She's like, no. I said, I don't know if it's just a Texas thing or a southern-y thing, but it's not a everywhere thing because I saw ads for it and I had no idea what they were talking about.
Yeah, well, because we're in the tri-state area. So, I mean, we're 15 minutes from Maine and 15 minutes from Massachusetts. So everybody mm-hmm. comes here to do shopping and then they bust down Canadians. Like, seriously, tour buses come down for people to do shopping because I guess they have a 15% sales tax up in Canada.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. Anyways, that's your economic lesson for the day.
There you go.
What is your weekend entertainment mitten like?
Speaking of lessons.
Yes.
I actually went and I mentioned it when it was started airing.
Yeah.
And you had seen some of it.
Yes.
But I watched the first 3 episodes of Drunk History. It's a show on Comedy Central. It was online. It was on Funny or Die. It's the brainchild a few years ago of Derek Waters. He started doing this.
Yeah.
And now Comedy Central's picked it up.
Yep.
It is history lessons.
Uh-huh.
Reenacted by some famous people.
Uh-huh.
And it's told and voiceovered by some actors and writers and comedians. But when they do it, they are shit-faced drunk.
Dumb.
So they go and record some funny person who's completely bombed.
Yes.
And they, like, go in their house and they put a camera in front of them and are like, tell us the story of, you know, John Wilkes Booth. Tell us the story of Watergate. Tell us the story of the Haymarket Riot. Whatever. And this person proceeds to tell the story of this history fact. And then they take the recording and they go and have actors like act out what they're saying for the story and like lip syncing, you know, to the narrator's lines.
Yep.
And it has got to be the worst idea for a television program ever. But also somehow the best. This is the funniest thing I have seen, maybe in forever.
But it's so stupid funny. You know what I mean? It's just ridiculously stupid.
And it's because the funniest parts are, so the drunk person telling the story will, like, either go off in a tangent, or there's a couple, like, all of a sudden they're talking to their dog.
Right.
But they put it into the story.
Right.
And they're like, who's that fat little boy over there? And then they have, like, a character in the story saying it. And then they show you that the drunk person's talking to their dog kind of thing. So funny. So we also have, like, Woodward puking all over the parking garage.
That's the one
Because the narrator just happened to start vomiting because he was so drunk at the moment. I will tell you this. If you have a weak stomach for gagging noises or puking, you cannot watch this.
Oh, boy.
So I watched the first 3 full episodes. I actually went and watched a couple of the old clips.
Okay.
When this started, too. But anyhow, the first couple episodes, we have at least 2 pukings. And the vast majority of the narrators end up on the floor, either curled up or sprawled out.
Jeez.
It sounds ridiculous. It sounds stupid. It seriously is the funniest thing. And the actors who are doing some ridiculous lines, like, just give it their all. And it's just so funny.
Stephen Merchant as Abraham Lincoln.
Oh, and Jack Black as Elvis.
Yes.
Kung Fu Elvis. Oh my god. It's so ridiculously funny. It's airing now on Comedy Central. Hulu has it, but I will talk, and this is why I only watched the first three episodes, and they've aired like five or six now. Maybe six this week. But anyhow, Hulu is only showing them 3 weeks after air date. You have to wait 3 weeks to watch them on Hulu from whatever licensing deal.
Okay.
So anyhow, they are there, but you're going to be behind the times.
And if you have a cable company that has on-demand, free on-demand television, a lot of them, I mean, Metrocast here in New England has them for free.
Yeah.
So you can watch them that way as well.
But if you think it sounds stupid, give it a try. Because it is. It's ridiculously stupid.
Yeah.
It's the craziest idea, and it's just hysterically funny.
Yeah.
Hysterically funny. My favorite is Jason Ritter has to start sneezing in the middle of his scene.
Yeah.
Because the narrator just starts sneezing.
Oh, no.
All of a sudden, Jason Ritter's doing these cute little sneezes, like in the middle of a scene. He's dressed in a Ku Klux Klan outfit. I snorted.
Yes, you did.
At least a dozen times while watching this. I laughed so hard.
All right.
So,
oh my God.
Anyhow, I can't believe I'm saying it, but I totally recommend watching Drunk History.
All right. Well, from the ridiculous to the sublime, Lee Daniels' The Butler, which opened this week and had its own share of controversy. He did a movie not too long, his follow-up to Precious, which we both saw and thought was phenomenal. I don't want to put words in your mouth, but you appreciated that film, correct?
Yes.
He did a movie called The Paperboy with Nicole Kidman and Matthew McConaughey and John Cusack and Zac Efron. And I had not seen it. And it was on Netflix, and I figured, all right, I'm going to go check this out. Daniels is, and I was talking to Clark Douglas about this, he's cut from the same cloth as Quentin Tarantino. Their films are visceral, very uniquely framed, styled. There is a stylization, a use of music, a use of quick cuts, a use of camera angles that is unique to the two of them. I can't think of another filmmaker who quite uses that 70s type vibe to tell their stories in a very unique way. So I got into this, and I didn't know what I was expecting. I mean, heard the whole thing about Nicole Kidman peeing on Zac Efron after he gets stung by jellyfish. And
yes.
So that was what, you know, that was my whole framework going into this, but it's a, I know, right? It's an interesting story in that it's a murder mystery. There's a small town sheriff, excuse me, this all takes place in white trash, swampland, central Florida, Lakeland, Florida, the 1970s, or late 60s, actually. I think it's 1968. So there's a lot of racism going on, and a small-town sheriff is murdered, and John Cusack is accused and tried and convicted and sent to prison with very little evidence to support it. So Matthew McConaughey plays this reporter for the Miami Herald, and he and his writing partner, who I don't know the actor's name, black actor, who is apparently a British immigrant and working for the paper. The two of them come to investigate and try and get this, you know, redneck man who is wrongly accused of murder off. And at the same time, Nicole Kidman, who has been writing letters to John Cusack's character in prison, wants to marry him. And so she's providing these two reporters with all the evidence that they need to get him off. And at the same time, Matthew McConaughey's father, who's played by Scott Glenn, is the head of the newspaper in that town, very influential, and Zac Efron is a disgraced college swimmer who pulled a prank and drained his pool and lost his scholarship and all this kind of stuff. So it's this whole family thing.
It sounds very confusing and boring.
Oh.
Is it confusing and boring?
It's not confusing and boring. It's two guys trying to get this convicted killer
off. Okay, it's just
off.
Your telling of it then.
It's just,
okay.
Thanks. It's early in the morning. I'm trying to compose my thoughts. Thank you so much. Anyways, the point is, Lee Daniels is a very talented filmmaker, and this is a very unique picture, which I don't think it got a lot of viewing when it was at the box office. No. And I highly suggest, if you are into Lee Daniels and you go see The Butler, or you liked Precious and you want to see this type of film, it's there for you and it's worth your time. It's ridiculous. It's very kind of over the top of the things that happen and the character twists that take place. But it's an incredible film to watch. And I had said that I would love to see him remake Deliverance, because what he could do with that picture, given the world that he creates right now, would be just highly, highly disturbing. So, anyways, okay. There you go.
Nice. All right.
We don't
it's
have
actually
box.
In my queue.
What's that?
So I will be. It's actually in my queue on Netflix.
All right.
I will be checking out soon. There you go. But yeah,
we don't have box office numbers. It's still early yet. But it looks like The Butler is going to take the box office over Kick-Ass 2, which was somewhat expected to be the big movie of the week.
Yeah, they really were projecting Kick-Ass 2 might just win, but right now it's like Sunday morning. It's projecting $25 million for The Butler.
Okay.
So
which is in line with the non-summer weekends that we've seen over the past year.
Yeah, it is. I think they were expecting it a little bit more, but... Yeah, that's all of a sudden becoming the typical number one spot. So it didn't do gangbusters, but it did fine.
Right.
So yeah, go for Lee Daniels. And I want to point out, if people haven't realized this, this was written by Jonathan. Danny Strong.
Oh.
From Buffy.
Really?
Who is a top Hollywood writer, wrote this.
I didn't know that.
Yes.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so which I just think is, very cool. Yeah, he's become, quite wanted in Hollywood for his writing skills.
Okay.
Which is very neat.
Yep.
So.
All right. Next week in the box office, as a lot of people are going back to school right now, both college and high school and elementary kids, so there's not a lot, there's not a lot left for the summer movie season. We're kind of at the end. Mortal Instruments, City of Bones, opens on Wednesday, which is the first entry in yet another teen fantasy romance book two film franchise. Starring British heartthrobs Lily Collins and Jamie Campbell Bauer. On Friday, we have the concluding entry in Edgar Wright's Ice Cream trilogy called World's End. So the trilogy, which isn't really a trilogy at all. I don't know why they're calling it this. So it's Hot Fuzz and Shaun of the Dead were the first two films.
Right.
This one's called World.
So it's just because he made three funny movies, so now it's a trilogy? Well, how does that work?
They both star, all three of them star Nick Frost and Simon Pegg.
I know, but like, okay. Anyhow.
I don't know. In this case, it's a group of mates who are on a pub crawl, and they're forced to save humanity from the apocalypse.
Of course they are.
So it's Nick Frost, Simon Pegg, and Martin Freeman star.
Nice.
Yep. And then there's another late summer home invasion horror flick called You're Next. This has kind of become a thing for this time of year. But this time the killers invade a wedding anniversary party, only to find one of the guests is more than a match for their inhuman savagery.
Dum, dum, dum.
Dum, dum. Okay, if you are not going to the box office and want to know what's coming to DVD and Blu-ray this week, head over to DVDverdict.com. TV on DVD reigns supreme this week. So we've got new seasons of NCIS, NCIS LA, ABC's Revenge, CBS's The Good Wife, NBC's Parenthood, Mike and Molly, Being Human, and Star Trek Enterprise.
All right then, wow.
Caught up on your TV. For the kids and families, the animated fantasy epic, which was a big box office hit this summer. We've got the Oscar-winning French film Amour. We've got Robert De Niro and John Travolta in direct-to-DVD, which you don't hear that very often, called The Killing Season.
I think we're going to hear it more often, though.
Scary Movie 5, and then Disney's Peter Pan, ill-advised Peter Pan sequel, Return to Neverland, is on Blu-ray this week. Over at Redbox, we've got the White House action picture Olympus Has Fallen, the Jackie Robinson biopic 42, Sylvester Stallone and Jason Momoa suffer a bullet to the head. Actually, it's probably the audience that suffers the bullet to the head. Robert De Niro and Diane Keaton celebrate a big wedding. And Tommy Lee Jones is General MacArthur in Emperor.
Okay.
Over at Netflix this week, we've got J.J. Abrams' Revolution, Season 1. which has been renewed and is coming back this fall, so if you want to get caught up. We've got The Boondock Saints with Sean Patrick Flannery, the period actioner Solomon Kane, and the creepy musical starring Dick Van Dyke, which was supposed to also co-star Julie Andrews, but did not, Chitty Chitty Bang Bang.
That's a freaky kids movie.
It is. It's disturbing.
That's freaky.
The Child Catcher haunted my nightmares for years as a kid after I saw that.
Well, you make a child's movie, but like the bad guy is a child catcher.
Right.
Like, really?
And they lock them
wrong people back then.
But then we sing and dance about it too. And it was written by Sir Ian Fleming, who also created James Bond.
Yes. Yeah, the original novel.
Yes.
Yeah, because it's a novel and then, you know, they made the movie out of it.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a very bizarre movie, actually.
Over at Hulu, it's not the scraping the bottom of the barrel this week. We've got This Is Spinal Tap from Rob Reiner. We've got Mike Nichols' The Graduate. We've got two of John Leguizamo's one-man shows, Freak and Sexaholic.
Oh, God, he is hysterical.
Oh, if you've never seen him do his one-man shows. Oh, Tony Award-winning stuff.
Exactly.
Yep. And then we've got the He-Man She-Ra movie, The Secret of the Sword.
Okay, then.
So there you go. Your streaming physical media wrap-up for this week.
Okay. Well, on TV, on Monday night, Food Network has a new show called Bubba Q. The guy's name is Bubba, and he makes barbecue. So it's called Bubba Q.
God.
See what they did there?
I see it.
Actually,
I won't see it.
Yeah. So Tuesday night, PBS begins The Life of Muhammad, new show for them.
Muhammad Ali?
No, Prophet.
Oh.
Muhammad, sorry. The Prophet Muhammad. Also Tuesday night, Storage Wars New York, this time, on A&E. Wednesday night is the season finale of Necessary Roughness on USA. Saturday, another new show on Food Network. It's called Beat Bobby Flay, which is a competition, you know, similar to some other stuff he's done. But technically, it's a new show. And then Sunday, Ice Road Truckers is back on History.
Oh, boy.
All right, then. Music this week. Songs from Saint Somewhere by Jimmy Buffett. New stuff from him and also new stuff from John Mayer called Paradise Valley.
And where he professes his love for Katy Perry?
Actually, yes. and then also we got one from Bruce Hornsby and Ricky Skaggs.
Oh, my God.
Called Cluck Old Hen. So that could be interesting.
Uh-huh.
And, yeah, country fans, Tracy Lawrence is back with the new one. Headlights, Taillights, and Radios. And then Lee DeWeiss, Mr. American Idol winner. New one called Frames.
He's a kid from Mount Prospect, wasn't he?
He is. He's a Chicago area boy. Yeah. We claim anybody from basically Illinois.
All right.
They're from Chicago. Yeah. So, yeah, Chicago suburbs, but he went, whatever, a couple seasons ago. So, let's see. Agatha Christie fans, Tommy and Tuppence stuff, a few books with them is actually a Nook book or ebook this week. Michael Palin, who does travel show stuff now, he actually has a book to go with his most recent one. It's called Brazil. It's by Michael Palin. There's all kinds of great photography in that.
Nice.
Ready? The Royal Baby, commemorating the birth of HRH Prince George.
Brother.
Annie Boulin. That did not take long at all, so God only knows what's in there. What does it commemorate? A baby came out of a woman and there.
Were they in the delivery room? Do they have pictures of the kid crowning? The prince is crowning.
Anyhow. All right. There's actually a book by the Pope. In Him Alone Is Our Hope, The Church According to the Heart of Pope Francis. So it's a bunch of his answers to questions. So, since he has made some interesting statements as of late,
I have not.
You can find out more about what he believes.
I'm a bad Catholic. I have not paid any attention.
Oh, well, he basically They did this great thing on The Daily Show. It's not a change of beliefs, you know, but it's a change of tone. And he came out and said, you know, if somebody's gay and is actually, like, trying to find God, like, who am I to judge, kind of thing. Huh. It was just an interesting statement. Yeah. So anyhow, we find out more about what the Pope believes this week, if you would like.
All right.
And then, this is great. The Mac and Cheese Cookbook. 50 simple recipes from Homeroom, America's favorite mac and cheese restaurant. Did you know we had a favorite mac and cheese restaurant?
No, but we do have a mac and cheese food truck in Los Angeles.
Yes, but we do. But anyhow, they have a list of cookbooks. So if you are a mac and cheese fan, then you can try the recipes.
You can do a lot with mac and cheese.
Yes.
In college, it was mac and cheese and beer.
Excellent.
Because we didn't have milk, so they used beer.
All right, then. Yeah. And it was obviously Kraft, I'm assuming.
Oh, absolutely.
Blue box.
Yep.
So. All right. There you go. I wonder if that recipe's in there.
It may be. Maybe Bubba Mac and Cheese.
All right. Anyhow, one last book.
Yes.
Often I, again, tell you books you may want to buy, or I think you should buy. This week, there's one that I would very much like you to avoid. Exposed, The Secret Life of Jodi Arias by Jane Velez Mitchell, forwarded by Nancy Grace. So they're going to go make money on this poor guy's death.
Oh, boy.
And the sensationalism that they have built up around her trial.
Okay.
Anyhow, not my favorite people in the world. Uh-huh. All right, then. Theater news. There is going to be a new musical. It's opening September, and then it's going to run through November. It's at the Donald and Darling Shiley Stage, an old Globe Theater. But anyhow, it's called The Last Goodbye. It's a musical of Romeo and Juliet.
Oh, isn't that called West Side Story?
Well, it's actually Romeo and Juliet.
Oh, okay.
It's not a different take on it.
Okay.
On the story. It's actually them. But here's the cool thing.
What?
The songs in this?
Yes.
Jeff Buckley did them.
Oh.
It's all Jeff Buckley music.
Huh.
Yeah. I don't know. Okay. I thought it was cool.
Could be interesting. It's got to be better than anything Bono and the Edge came up with for Spider-Man.
Which also is the other Broadway news. Another actor got seriously injured on that.
They just need to pull the damn plug on that thing already. Nobody's going to see it.
Yeah.
They're trying to make their money back is what they're doing.
So, anyhow, I don't know what number this is, but it's more than a couple.
Yes, definitely more.
Yeah.
All right. In entertainment news, we're going to start out with the sad, depressing, and tragic, the death of That 70s Show co-star Lisa Robin Kelly, who played Lori Forman, Eric's sister. So, she's had a long struggle with substance abuse.
Yes.
And had checked herself into rehab, I want to say within the past couple of weeks.
Yeah, and she also has a long history of, like, domestic violence, too.
Okay. All right.
Perpetrating and having it perpetrated on her, it seems. She's been arrested numerous times.
So
and
now,
those two, I think, the domestic violence and the drugs hand in hand kind of thing, so.
Yeah. But now her estranged husband is blaming her side piece boyfriend for causing her to relapse, despite the fact that the rehab center said there were no drugs involved, and now they're waiting for, you know, toxicology reports and all that kind of stuff. She was only 43.
Yeah, so sad.
Another former Bachelor contestant, Gia Allemand, died of an apparent suicide at age 29.
Ugh.
And I don't want to bring this up to you. You said it's been several years since she's been on the show.
Yeah, it wasn't. She's not on the show now. It didn't have anything really to do with the show.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's actually dating, like, an NBA player.
Okay.
And some of the stories are they were having issues. I don't know, but he's the one that found her and,
jeez.
Had to call 911 and whatever. Just sad.
Yeah. John Mellencamp's two teenage sons are suspects in the brutal beating of an Indiana teen who just happened to be in the wrong place at the wrong time. Apparently, this was a revenge attack for a beating that took place earlier in the evening in which one of the Mellencamp boys was injured. So.
Yeah, but yeah, so Hud and Speck, I'm a big Mellencamp fan, not as much lately as I used to be, but they that one of them is like the state champion boxer Indiana.
Holy crap.
Like, yeah. And they went and supposedly there was some kind of altercation earlier in the evening. Mm-hmm. But they and another friend whose dad is famous in the area, who's like a coach at like the college, right? Mm-hmm. Anyhow, they like pulled up to this guy's place and this guy was on the porch and they beat the shit out of him.
And the pictures are just brutal. I mean, this kid is, yeah.
I mean, they didn't just like somebody go deck in. They beat the
no.
shit. And they're both adults now, I believe. They're like 18 and 19.
Yeah. Now, their mom is the model, right?
Yeah, their mom is Elaine Irwin.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, she's still living in Indiana with them and whatever. It's just really, really sad that anybody would do this. It's just really sad that somebody I like and respects kids would do this.
Now, he's still shacking up with Meg Ryan, correct?
I don't know what they're doing.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, I kind of lost a little. Like, yeah, I like and respect. I've kind of lost a bit of that.
He hasn't really done anything musically lately. So, I mean, the last great thing we saw him is he and Fogerty did a summer music tour, which was fantastic. It was one of the best outdoor shows I've ever seen.
He's done some really great. He's gotten more into kind of folk kind of music. And,
okay.
I mean, he's still putting out some good stuff. But,
yeah.
Anyhow, just really kind of shocking.
Yeah.
That his kids are making the headlines for something so horrible.
You're definitely going to hear more about that. It appears as if J-Lo will be returning to American Idol next season, at least according to her boy toy dancer boyfriend, Casper Smart, who spilled the beans when he wasn't supposed to.
Yep.
Bradley Cooper is producing a Lent.
Wait. You just let me get my stupid joke.
Go.
Casper Smart, who spilled the beans.
Yeah.
So I guess he's not so
smart. Sorry.
Keep going.
Cut you off there. Bradley Cooper is producing a Lance Armstrong biopic, which, in fact, he may play the disgraced biking legend. I wonder who they'll get to play Sheryl Crow. TNT has renewed Rizzoli and Isles, Major Crimes, and Perception, each for another season. Now, did you hear about this? Russell Simmons is apologizing for a sketch comedy video on Def Comedy Jam's YouTube channel.
No, missed this.
All right. So, think Funny or Die, but it's Def Comedy Jam's version of it.
Yeah.
This sketch comedy was Harriet Tubman recording a sex tape to blackmail a white slave owner into building the Underground Railroad.
Oh, my.
So, needless to say, people got a little up in arms, and they were forced to remove the video, and now Russell's backtracking and saying, hey, you know, it's just, how is this any different than what, you know, other sketch comedy type stuff does, but...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, then.
All right. And then there's new information which has surfaced surrounding the death of Diana, Princess of Wales. Apparently, the former in-laws of a former British soldier have revealed to police that he was part of the car chase that caused the death, leading to believe that the British military was somehow involved. Police are merely calling this an assessment of new information. They're not reopening the investigation or adding to apparently something called Operation Paget, which dealt with all the conspiracy theories that surfaced surrounding her tragic death.
Yeah.
So, anyways. Yeah, more fodder for the canon here.
Okay.
And, of course, you know, with William having a new son and now all this, you know.
Yeah, now it comes out again, really?
Right. Anyways, that's all I've got this week.
All right. Well, Kimmy took to Instagram this week.
Yeah.
Posted a picture of baby gifts. It was like a little like onesie outfit and blanket and whatever kind of thing. I posted that and the note to Kim and Kanye. Congratulations on the birth of your baby girl. Finally, Katie Couric.
Oh.
So Kim Kardashian tagged this photo. I hate fake media friends.
Oh.
And so hashtag, may I humbly suggest you not send gifts, then talk shit.
Oh, wow.
So Kim took Katie to task, man.
Well, that was classy on her part.
Yeah.
Yet another example of just how intelligent these Kardashian women are.
Yeah, and I guess Katie on her talk show you know, was like talking about her and like saying she doesn't really get why they're famous. And then it's really just mostly teenage girls that are interested, which is true. Kind of thing. I mean, she didn't say like they're horrible people. She was just like, I don't get why they're famous. Which who the hell gets why they're famous? None of us do.
Nobody.
That's not saying something bad about them. It's just, you know, what we're all thinking. Anyhow, so yeah, Kim, the claws came out on Mommy Kim.
Jeez.
So, whatever. Yeah.
Whatever. Oh, and to follow up on your last week's story about Scott What's-His-Face in the paternity suit, TMZ ran a video that said, guess what? He is the father. So.
Yeah, they Courtney has released, or someone released, a paternity test on Mason saying Scott's, you know, 99.9% of the father. Of course, the guy who's suing for paternity says it's faked. He still wants an independent court-ordered test.
Whatever.
So.
Whatever. All right.
We'll see if that dies or if it,
nothing with the Kardashians ever dies. It's like the zombie apocalypse. They're going to be around long after, you know, humanity has left the Earth. The Kardashians will still
Kardashians
be here.
Kardashians and cockroaches with a K.
Exactly.
So, all right.
Hey, do we have a contest this week?
We do.
Yes.
It's Luke Evans' new one called No One Lives. Ooh. It's the story of a ruthless criminal gang that takes a young couple hostage and goes to ground in an abandoned house in the middle of nowhere. When the captive girl is killed, the tables are unexpectedly turned. Dun, dun. So it's basically that one you were talking about that's
pretty
coming
much,
out.
Pretty much.
So.
Same point. All right. Well, thank you guys for tuning in. We will be back next week. And thank you, as always, for heading over to DVD Verdict to check out our reviews. Until next time, Melissa Ann, take it away.
Because there's no way we could lose each other now. This is not goodbye.